the apostolic year. Tell your neighbor, welcome to the apostolic year. Your year of fire, order, and destiny. So the word apostle is from the root word apostolos, which means sent one. And the Lord made me to see that 2026 will look like the year or the season when Jesus sent forth his first apostles to carry his message and spread it around the world. Are you with me? Are you with me? And you know very well that the apostolic work of Jesus and his apostles began with the day of Pentecost. And it began with the advent of the Holy Ghost coming with fire. Say after me, fire. And they carried that fire and began to preach. Preached about Jesus, that he died, was buried, he resurrected for the salvation of all mankind. And that fire propelled them to spread his message around the world. But you see, the church began to grow, and God had to put order into the church, and God had to raise a man called Paul, Apostle Paul. Are you with me? And Paul began to help the church have what you can call divine order. Praise the Lord. Doctrinal order, leadership order. 75% of what we call the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. God used him to set order. Are you with me? And then challenges began to rise in the church. There was persecution. There were tough times. The leaders of the Roman Empire did not want to hear about Christianity. And Christianity was fought tooth and nail. And then God's children began to move, because they were escaping persecution, as it were. But from their movement, God began to usher them into destiny. Many of them had to move out of Jerusalem. They relocated to new lands, and that was how Christianity spread to new lands. Many of them found their destiny out of what they could call a negative circumstance. Are you with me? And so, in the spirit, as I prayed last year, somewhere around July, praying, the Lord caught my attention to say, start praying for 2026. Already, he had told me on the 1st of January 2025 that January 2026 will be the apostolic year. Are you with me? And all the teachings we did, including the camp meeting where we talked about the gift of the Spirit, it was equipping us for this year. Are you with me? Are you with me? And so he said, this year will look a lot like that season where we are going to receive fire. The fire of the Spirit will be ignited in our lives. Amen. Number two, he will bring us into divine order. Amen. And then we will be ushered into our destiny. And so this morning, I want to unpack all of this. What to expect in this year and what you must do. Now, this is regardless of your challenge. This is regardless of the issues you are going through. This is regardless of that matter you have been praying to God about. Listen, if you put your attention on what I'm about to share with you, by the end of this year, you will discover that all the things you are praying about have become answered prayers already. And you would have moved into bigger things. Bigger things in your destiny. Bigger things in God's plan for you. Are you with me? Somebody say amen. Say louder, amen. So what should we expect this year? Number one, divine emergence continues. 2025 was our year of divine emergence. And divine emergence simply means when a person comes out of his hiding and God reveals you to your world. When God is saying that you are no longer to be at this level, it's time to go into the next level of my plan for you. Are you with me? So, in God's plan, divine emergence continues. Tell your neighbor, divine emergence continues. You see, when Jesus commissioned his apostles, that was divine emergence for his apostles. Are you with me? as they were entering into the apostolic phase of that ministry of Jesus, it was divine emergence for them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 1. I want to show you something. Now, at the beginning of my teaching, if you are someone who maybe does not have interest in the things of God, it may be a little boring. But don't worry. By the time we are done with this teaching, not only will you not have interest in the things of God, it will no longer be boring. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 1, from verse 15. The Bible says, "And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said," the number of names, okay, this is in parenthesis, the bracket. "The number of names together were about 120. So Peter stood up in the midst of 120 people and said, 'Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had..." Now pay attention to verse 17. "For he was" what? "For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, so much that the field is called in their proper tongue, Akeldama, the field of blood." Verse 20. "For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take.'" That means that when Jesus was speaking his apostles, he was not just looking for people to be sending up and down as servants. He had destiny in plan for them. There was something he packaged for those 12 guys. There was something special for those 12 guys. And many of them, probably, when they were working with him throughout the 3.5 years, they were just wondering, what's this all about? Okay. But by the time he was ascending to heaven and commissioned them to begin the apostolic work, he began to get them to emerge. Are you with me? So it was as the apostolic work was beginning, their emergence was beginning. Remember Peter. Peter looked like he would be the one that would fall out at first. But if you remember, when Jesus picked Peter, what did he tell him? He told him, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." That was the first thing he told Peter. The second thing he told Peter, or the second promise as it were, he gave to Peter, you will see this in Matthew 16, when he asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And everybody said, some said, "You are Elijah," some said, "You are that prophet." And then Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus now said to Peter, "Thou art Peter." Can you imagine? Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." Jesus now said, "Thou art Peter." Are you with me? But he was not just trying to repeat Peter's name. He was trying to unveil Peter to Peter. "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock that I am the Christ, I will build my church." Then he said something to Peter that people do not pay attention to. He said to Peter, he says, "And to thee I give you the keys of the kingdom." Read it. "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever thou shalt be bound on earth..." Please help me read it. Amen. Do you realize that people do not understand that actually the keys of the kingdom were given to Peter? Check every time the gospel advanced, for the Jews to the Gentiles, Peter was the first person. He had the keys. He was the one on the day of Pentecost that preached after the Holy Ghost came and 3,000 were saved. And then when the gospel was about to go to the Gentiles, he was the first person that had the encounter with Cornelius. Are you with me? In Acts chapter 10. As it were, he was carrying the keys. If you remember, when Paul... God, I hope what I'm saying is not too deep. It's not too deep, right? You understand it, right? When Paul received the call to go to the Gentiles, before Paul could preach, God allowed Paul to go and see Peter first so that he would also receive the keys. So as it were,
when Jesus ushered these apostles, he was launching them into their prophetic divine emergence. This year, there are many things that God has said about you. There are many things that have been prophesied about you. One of the things God will do this year is that he will bring you into divine emergence. Are you with me? Amen. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So number one, divine emergence continues. Number two, it will be a year of greater evangelism. Say after me, greater evangelism. Let me tell you something. If they have not told you, I am telling you by the strength of the scriptures and by my walk with God, Jesus is coming sooner than you think. Are you with me? Are you with me? He's coming sooner than you think. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Chapter made the apostolic year. Number two, greater evangelism. The Bible says in Mark 16, verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the words with signs following. Amen. So we will go everywhere and preach. And let me tell you something. I know for many people, they are scared of evangelism. They are asking themselves, what will I say? Well, say what you know about Jesus. And some, they think evangelism is just, okay, when we just pick day of evangelism for the church and all of us go with tracts. Heavenly race, I no go tire. Let me tell you, evangelism is not an event of a church. It is the life of the believer. Every day. Let me tell you something. It is very easy and more easier than you think. If you really believe in Jesus, you will talk about him. When you are in love with a girl, won't you be telling your friends, that girl is fine. That girl is fine. Ah, like my wife is fine. My wife is fine. When you are crushing on a boy, you will start telling your friends, I don't know. Anytime I see him, I'm just. Then you enter the shop. You saw a young person. The person looks like somebody you can talk to. Excuse me. I know you are busy, but can I share something with you? Please give me some time. Basically, I know you want to preach, Abby. It's preaching you want to do. Yes, I want to preach. But I know you may have heard about Jesus in many ways, but I want you to hear him from my own way. And you start talking. The highest they will say is what? No! Part of the reason I'm telling you this is because this year, God wants his message to spread faster. Anybody that embraces this assignment of spreading his message faster will receive divine attention. I am just giving you a clue. Are you with me? Okay. The next thing to expect, greater fire, greater results. I thought you would say at least amen. That I mean, this year, I experienced greater fire and greater results. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says, truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders, and mighty deeds. Are you seeing this? So when the Lord says it's an apostolic year, the signs of an apostolic year will come with signs, with wonders, and mighty deeds. Ah, Jesus. At least say amen. So after me, the signs of the apostolic year is manifest in my life with signs, wonders, mighty deeds, signs, wonders, mighty deeds. Amen. You know, already in Acts chapter 2, when they were praying, the Holy Ghost came like a sound of a rushing wind with fire, cloven tongues as of fire, and sat upon each of them. Number four, this year will be a year of order and structure. Glory. Now, the apostolic ministry also represents the first ministry that God used to set order in his church.
Are you seeing how I'm breaking it down to you? Are you seeing what I'm saying? Are you following me? Please, are you following me? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28 says, "And God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues." But you can see he has set some in the church, first apostles. He's trying to show that these guys will begin to put order in the church of the Lord. Ephesians 2, verse 19, it says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God," verse 20, "and are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets." Are you seeing this? You are built upon the foundation of the apostles. So as it were, that apostolic ministry represents order. Say after me, order. Titus 1, verse 5. This is Paul writing to Titus, not your can of sardino. Paul was writing to Titus. Titus was the name of a person, not the name of three fishes inside one place. Titus was the name of a person. Paul was writing to Titus. He says, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting." Are you with me? "And ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee." So, the Lord will be setting in order many things that are wanting in your life. Many things that are wanting in the body of Christ, the Lord will be setting it in order. And even in our church, God will be setting some things in order. See, if you look very well, that order started last year. God began to set many things in order. See, one of the things, let me read it out. I'll read it in first person the way the Lord said it to me. He says, "You saw a bit of this last year, but there will be more in 2026. I will be separating the wheat from the chaff. I will be separating the authentic from the fake." Then he says, "Choose to be solid." Are you with me? Tell your neighbor, choose to be solid. Choose to be authentic. Choose to be solid. Don't be that kind of Christian that is just today you are in, tomorrow you are out. You see, you will not get the best of what God has planned this year. This is the year where you will say, if there is any year I was orderly, it is this year. Set in order the things that are wanting. Jeremiah 23, verse 28 to 29. It says, "The prophet that had a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully." Then he says, "What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? What is the chaff to the wheat? Is my word not like fire, saith the Lord, and like hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces?" His word is like fire. His word is like hammer. See, this is the year you will tell yourself, "I will sit on the word." Say after me, "I will sit on the word." There will be order in my life. Amen. Remember, it was when Jesus was about to die that he told Peter, "Simon, Simon, the devil has planned to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you." So as it were, that period when Jesus was about to be taken up and he was going to launch his apostles, there was going to be a separation. That was the same period that Judas was separated. Peter was almost going to fall out too. Are you with me? So this year, there will be a lot of separation. Are you getting me? Let me tell you something. God knows. I'm not saying this because I just stayed somewhere and said, this year will be. I'm saying, I've been praying about this thing for 1 year. We didn't look at any church. I answered those questions during the crossover night. Any church can declare what God has said they will experience. And I'm telling what the Lord said we are going to experience. Are you with me? Are you with me? Number 5, greater discipleship. We will have to go back to our roots of the Christian faith. Remember, it's the apostolic year. Acts 2, verse 42 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship and breaking of bread." So it is a year we go back to greater discipleship. Amen. Also, this year, we'll have apostolic persecution. That's number six. So, number one is divine emergence continues, greater evangelism, greater fire, greater results. That's number three. Number four, order and structure. Number five, greater discipleship. Number six, apostolic persecution and challenges. He says, can we read Acts chapter 11, verse 19 to 23? It says, now they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word of the Lord to none but Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Everybody, verse 21. Verse 22. Then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Verse 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them, read on. I know, somebody may be hearing me. And what he's saying is, Pastor, all these things you are saying is too deep. All these things you are saying, apostolic this, apostolic that. It will be ordered, it will be structured, there will be this one. Pastor, I just want to blow. See, Pastor, I just want to make money. Pastor, see, if I just give me 1 billion now, I'm settled. You receive. Somebody say, I receive. But you see, the kingdom of God does not work that way. This is the year where you have to tell yourself, am I a child of God? Do I really have business with God? Or I am using God for business? Listen, see, this year is that year you will tell yourself, I will get serious with God. Look at what he told them. There were challenges. So, after Stephen, if you know the story of the Bible, in Acts chapter 7, Stephen was stoned for preaching the gospel. After Stephen was stoned, people began to run. And then some ran away to a different place, but they did not know that the hand of the Lord was upon them. Even as they were running, read it. You can think verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was upon them. Everybody read from here. Mm-hmm. Read on. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. See, have you made up your mind to cleave unto the Lord? Probably this was one of the reasons why the hand of the Lord was upon them. Have you made up your mind that I will cleave to the Lord? Have you made up your mind that I've come to the point where I can no longer help myself? I will cleave unto God. I have come to discover, there is nothing too big for God to do for you. There is nothing. There is nothing. But how much of you does he have? There was a time we used to sing that song. I want more of you. One day I was singing it and God said, me, I also want more of you. I want more of you. You want more of God, but how much of you does God have? Have you really consecrated your heart to the Lord? Or you are playing church? Even when we are leading the worship, I saw the way some people, let me tell you something. It's a bad sign that you don't have the desire to worship God. It's a bad sign. The Bible says, now we have not received the spirit of fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Romans 8, verse 15. Do you know what that means? It means that if you have received the Spirit of God into you, one of the very first signs is that your heart will be desirous to cry towards God. You will be in a place, nobody is singing, but you just feel like singing a song to God. You will wake up with songs. When they are worshiping God and the atmosphere is thick with God's presence, your heart will be crying, "That's my Father." You have to be crying, "Abba, Father." And you have been going to church for years and you don't feel that way. It's a bad sign. According to the Bible, we are tempted to believe that you may not have been saved. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, let me read out this. There will be challenges. Just like the early church. But it will result into the spread of the gospel of Jesus. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Many saints will be scattered across the nations seeking refuge, but it will be God's strategy for global evangelism. Now, hear this one. There will be more relocations from Nigeria to the nations of the world. There will be more relocations. I know. Then I was not asking the Lord, what about the travel restrictions? He says, "And fear not about the travel restrictions. Those I have sent cannot be stopped. Those I have sent cannot be stopped." I have some timelines here. There will be a shaking. However, abundance will begin to break in somewhere from August, October down to November. I'm just telling you. Are you with me? There are many of you who are scared. You are scared financially. But this year, if you commit to the Lord, abundance is coming. In spite of the challenges, abundance is coming. There are some of you, you will step into what I can call divine surprises. You didn't believe. Do you imagine if you plan that during the year, okay, I'll be earning 50,000 every month, and something happens, and you're not earning 700,000 every month? That's what will happen to a lot of people. The way some of you are saying this, amen. Okay? Finally, what to expect in the new year? 2026 is going to be the year of destiny, where you will enter your divine assignment. You know, the word apostle means sent. And in a sense, every one of us has been sent by God to the earth. Are you with me? Because God sent you to this earth to fulfill something. We'll talk more about this next week, Sunday. The Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. There was a man sent from God. You have been sent from God. Some of you, God has put something in your heart. That thing that you feel like, if I don't do this thing before I leave this earth, something is missing. This year, God is saying you must start it. Some of you, you know that no matter what you do, if you don't do music, if you don't sing songs and produce music, you are doing your generation a disfavor. This year, you will step into it. Amen. There are some of you, God has told you, you are a businessman. You must raise companies that will employ people. Are you with me? This is that year where you will step into your destiny. Where you will step into that divine assignment. And listen. Some of you, as I'm talking already, you know what I'm talking about. You know that, some of you is a foundation. You say, in my life, I must do this thing. Some of you is a calling. I know that I must preach the gospel. I know I must mentor young girls. I know I must do this. I must do that. That time to start it is this year. You know, someone reached out to me and said, "Pastor David, the way you just came out with music this year, 1st of January, you gave us." I said, "Don't worry, 10 others are coming more." And he was like, "Pastor David," I said, "you don't know the encounter I had. Jesus told me." He said, "On the last day, one of the things I will ask you about is your music." And I was like, he said, "I'm the one that gave you now." I will ask you what you did with it. So on the last day, one of these, I will ask you, what did you do with the music I gave to you? Some of you, that passion he put inside of you for something, he will ask you, your destiny. After me, my destiny, I will fulfill. Amen. Acts chapter 26, verse 16. Jesus said to Paul, Paul was narrating his conversion experience to King Agrippa. And he was narrating what Jesus said to him. Jesus said to him, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness of both these things in which thou hast seen and those things in the which I will appear unto thee." Can you imagine? He says, "I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. As it were, I have been raising you all your life for this purpose. I took you to that school. I took you to that university. I took you to those experiences. I allowed you to have those encounters for this purpose." This is that year where you enter for this purpose. You are not saying this amen with conviction. Let me tell you something. If you live your life for survival, that's the smallest thing you can ever do with your life. One of the tricks of the devil is to make the summary of our Son of God mean by proven by turning stones to bread. I will say that again. One of the tricks of the devil is to make the summary of our being sons of God to be about turning stones to bread. Your Christianity from January to December, all about bread, me, car, money, this, that. See, don't live your life to just make a living. Let your living be for a giving. Are you with me? In destiny, impact is more important than income. Well, I will talk more about this next week Sunday. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what must we do? Number one, we must get back on fire with God. Get back on fire with God. Get back on fire. Don't be bothered about the demons in your village, generational curses, ancestral patterns, arrows that fly by noonday and noon night. Is there anything like that? Don't worry. Once has he spoken, twice have I heard that power belongeth to God. These people, see, once has he spoken, twice have I heard that power belongeth to God. In your life, you will see the power of God. Though. Accept it. Accept it first. So number one, get on fire with God. Revelation 2 from verse 1 to 5. Revelation 2 from verse 1 to 5. Jesus was speaking to the church in Ephesus. The Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil." Now pay attention to this. "And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and has borne and has patience for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted." Verse 4. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Are you with me? This is a time to go back to your first love. Go back to the word of God. Now, see verse 5. It says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent." So as it were, the love or our first love was represented by a candlestick with fire. If you are truly in love with God, you'll be on fire. The absence of love for the Lord and the things of the Lord is a proof of no fire. Are you with me? I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You are more in love with your phone now than with your Bible. What is happening? Get back on fire. Tell your neighbor, get back on fire. Are you with me? Go back to the word. Go back to evangelism. Get back to serious devotion to God. Have a walk with God. Go all out for the Lord. Are you with me? Have a walk with God. Number two, seek to know and follow God's plan for your life. Seek to know. Learn to ask questions like, God, what is your plan for me? Are you with me? Learn to say, God, what is your plan for me? What is your plan? For this year, what is your plan for me? For this year, what is your plan? What must I do this year? What is your plan for my business? This idea you've given to me, what is your plan? Are you with me? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalm 16 verse 11. Can we read Psalm 16 verse 11? Psalm 16 verse 11. Let's put it on the screen and let's read. Seek to know and follow God's plan for your life. Psalm 16 verse 11. It says, thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Ah. Have you learned to rejoice at the word? You are showing me the path of life. Lord, you are showing me the path of life. You are showing me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You are showing me the path of life. You are showing me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen. I don't walk in confusion. I don't walk in confusion. I don't walk in confusion. I know the path of life. I know the path I must take. The Holy Ghost is asking me to tell somebody, I know you are afraid for this year. There may be uncertainties for this year. But just declare, he will show me the path of life. Maybe you are here and you think about your life. Where am I even going, Seth? How will I navigate my way? But he will show you the path of life. So seek to know and follow God's plan for your life. Proverbs 3 verse 5. I'm sure maybe you are thinking, how will I know God's plan for my life? Will I have to do 10 days prayer and fasting? Maybe yes or maybe not. But he tells you in his word, Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on an understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So that means he has promised me, if I can acknowledge him consistently, he will direct my path. If I can talk to him and say, okay, God, what is your plan? What do you want me to do? Some of you, even when you have not asked, he's already showing you. See, as you grow in your walk with God, there are patterns you begin to notice. For instance, I noticed when a year is coming to an end, any dream you have from 25th afterward, take it serious. When you start dreaming towards 25th, 26th, 27th, those are serious. Usually, I know God does not live in time, but he knows you live in time. And many times, he's trying to show you things you must not take lightly into the next year. Are you with me? So some of you, he has started showing you things. Some of you, he showed you things to pray about. Start praying. Start what? Praying. Praying and fasting starting on the 12th of January. Now, if I'm feeling it's too far. But don't worry, it's for 21 days. Saturdays and Sundays inclusive. Number three, pay attention to areas of disorder in your life and start dealing with them. The Bible says, having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What is that area of your life that God is trying to tell you, pay attention to it, be orderly? What is that area? Find it and work on it. Are you with me? For some of you, God is saying, you see this, your life, your one kind life, one leg in, one leg out. It has to stop. I talked about something last week. The Lord pressed it on my heart to emphasize it again. Be steadfast. Be dependable. There are people that you can count their number, but they cannot be counted upon. Be steadfast. Be steadfast. In your walk with God, be steadfast. In your life, be steadfast. See, be the kind of person that people can say, that girl, if he tells you something, consider it done. Let's read some verses. Psalm 19, verse 9. Psalm 19, verse 9 to 14. It says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. Verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. See, there are things in your life that only you and God know about. And you know that this thing is stopping you. God may not show it to a pastor. Nobody may have a word of knowledge about it. But you and God know that as long as this thing is still there, I will be held down. Are you getting me?
Yes,
work on it. Are you getting me?
Yes,
reject it from stopping you. For some people, it's pornography. For some people, it's immorality. For some people, it's distraction. They know I am easily distracted. I cannot stay 1 hour without pressing my phone. I cannot pray without pressing my phone. I cannot read without... You know you are addicted. You know. Now, see this. It says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Then verse 13. It says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. You know why I like to read Bible like this? Sometimes, maybe I have not seen this kind of scripture before. Some people, they don't know that such a verse exists in the Bible. There are secret faults that nobody knows about, but you and God know. This is that year to clean up. Oh. Are you with me? And then there is something called presumptuous sins. You know what are presumptuous sins? Things that don't look like sins, but they were sins, and you did them. Or you did not do. Things that you're supposed to have done that you did not do, or things that you shouldn't have done that you did. Let me explain. Presumptuous sins. Sometimes it doesn't have to do with, did you steal? Did you not steal? Did you lie? It has to do with opportunities that God wanted you to do something about, but you did nothing about. Let me give an instance. Presumptuous sins. David is the one talking. He understands this thing very well. They were carrying the ark from the land of the Philistines into Israel. And everybody was excited. But there was a problem. They were carrying the ark on the back of animals. And they did not know that God had instituted that animals not carry the ark. It must be men carrying the ark, but they did not know. So because the animals were carrying the ark, after a while, the ark was about to fall. And then a man called Uzzah went to support the ark, and then he died. Are you with me? And then they went to go and pray and fast and inquired of the Lord. And the Lord now said, the reason why Uzzah died was because the ark was not carried after the due order. They now took the ark and kept it in the house of a man called Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom kept that ark in his house. And then, 3 months after, they discovered that Obed-Edom became so blessed. Obed-Edom, see, do you know why they gave him to Obed-Edom? They did not like him. They wanted him to die. They thought that if they give this guy this ark, this thing that killed other people, by now, Obed supposed to die. But he kept it in his house, as it were, he made his house a temple of the Lord. He was doing something right and did not know. And after a while, he began to get blessings. See, many times you need to ask God, what are those things I must do? Sometimes, you know, I did a charge last year at a major program called Prophetic Action. Sometimes there are some prophetic actions God wants you to take. Start that thing. If you don't start it, it has become a sin, but you don't know. For instance, if this year go, like I told you my own, if this year comes and goes and I don't release as many songs as I plan to release, or if I don't release any song at all, I've committed a sin, but in the normal scale of things, it doesn't look like a sin. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
It's a presumptuous sin. You just assume. Say after me, Heavenly Father, deliver me from presumptuous sins. There are some things God will want you to stop. Say, that thing, don't do it again. This thing, do it. That thing, do it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. This year, be steadfast. All that one, you will show up in church today. The next time we'll see you is 4 months after. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I saw a verse that shocked me. In James chapter 1, from verse 6 to 7. He says, when a man is praying, he should not doubt in his heart. He should not doubt or have wavering in his heart. Let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Then he says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This year, make up your mind that you will not live your life double-minded in the name of Jesus. What are you going to do this year? This year, I'm going to focus on web programming, artificial intelligence. By April, what are you doing? You know, I'm now into tailoring. By July, what are you into? You know, now I export containers. Are you with me? A double-minded man. Take time and pray fast. What do you want me to do, Lord, this year? Don't be presumptuous. So. Are you with me? Even if you prayed and fasted and nothing came, don't worry. Look at the circumstances and the coincidences that God is arranging around you. You will begin to see what God is trying to show you. Amen. Number 4, solidify your faith. Solidify your faith in the Lord for tough times. Solidify your faith. Romans 8 verse 2. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8 verse 28, please, not verse 2. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Say after me, it works for my good. Then it says in verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Say after me, God is for me.
God is for me.
Say it again, God is for me. Then he says in verse 35, what? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nothing shall separate you from the love of God this year. Amen? See, the simple way to have faith is to tell yourself, God loves me. When you remember that no matter what happens, God is on your side. Say for me, God is on my side. Say it again, God is on my side. Then in verse 37, it says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Oh my God. I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. It says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Do you see that now? Sometimes I am loved by God. Solidify your faith. Solidify your faith. No matter what happens, I am more than a conqueror. No matter what I face, I will always win. No matter what I face, I will always win. I will always win. I will always win. I do the impossible. I walk on water. I walk on water. I will always win. Let me tell you something. There is nothing you can do to stop a man like me. No, there is nothing. Not discouragement, not tribulation, not challenge. As long as I am on what God has asked me to do, no, nothing can stop me. Prepare, make up your mind, solidify your faith. I know you've had a tough time. Maybe you've had a bad 2025. Something very terrible happened to you. You lost money. You lost relationships. You lost connections. But don't worry, you are still here. And you are more than a conqueror. Are you with me? I am telling you ahead of time, prepare. Let me tell you something. If you don't learn how to handle challenges, you cannot become so big. For the fact God sent you does not mean there will not be challenges. Imagine you were Moses. You had a burning bush experience. God told you to put your staff on the ground and it became a serpent. And you're like, Kai, nobody has seen this sign before. By the time I go to Pharaoh's palace and show them this sign, they will listen to me. Then you go there. You drop your rod. It becomes a serpent. They said, oh, this one. Jannes and Jambres. Pharaoh's magicians, they say, come, bring two. Everything na double, double. And then they drop their own. And it becomes serpents too. Some of you, when you see that, you just tell yourself, I'm not doing again. Say, Pharaoh, see. I'm not doing again. But guess what? Moses was watching. And his one rod swallowed two. Are you with me? What does that mean? Even if the devil multiplies the trouble, you receive the word from the Lord. God told you this and this will happen. But then you got there, you saw double trouble, plenty everywhere. Don't worry, in the end, you always win. Your rod will swallow the two rods of the magicians of Pharaoh. Are you with me? That's a way to reason. It's a way to think. Let me tell you something. I know, like I know my name, that before Jesus comes, you see this ministry, we will be at the forefront of the gospel globally. I know. Whether you agree, you like me, you don't like me, you will be there, you will see it. Oh, you see it. Me, I know. God has told me, I will pastor many of the greatest people in this world. I will pastor presidents. I will pastor ambassadors.
Amen.
I will pastor campus of industries.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I will pastor employers of labor.
Yes.
God has told me, they that shall be of you shall build up the old waste places.
Yes, sir.
They will build up the old waste places.
Amen.
Don't look at your life the way you are now. Fetch us. There is a giant inside of you.
Yes.
Believe it or receive it. There is a giant inside of you.
Amen.
And this year you will emerge.
Amen.
The giant in you will come alive.
Amen.
You are more than a conqueror.
Amen.
Nothing can defeat you.
Nothing can
stop you.
Nothing can stop me.
Some of you don't know the atmosphere has changed. You are looking at me. Don't worry. I am more than a conqueror.
I am more than a conqueror.
I cannot be defeated. I cannot be discouraged. I am more than a conqueror. Glory! The greater one lives in me. The greater one lives in me. I am born of God. Therefore, I overcome. Whatsoever is born of God, overcome the world. And this is my victory. Even my faith in Jesus. The Bible says he picked the pauper out of the dunghill and set him among the princes. I believe in hard work. Remember, I told you about order. I believe in diligence. I believe in excellence. But I believe in the anointing. I believe in the grace of God. Are you with me? Don't let the devil lie to you that this year will be worse. No. The path of the just like a shining light. My path is like a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter. It shines brighter and brighter. 2026 will be 1,000 times better than 2025. Maybe you lost a business, you will build a bigger one. Maybe you lost a job, you will get a better one. The path of the just like a shining light. I shine brighter and brighter. Until the perfect day, I shine brighter and brighter. I will never have a better yesterday. I'm not hearing you talk. I will never have a better yesterday. I will never have a better yesterday.
Thank you, Lord. I will never have a better yesterday. Pray in the spirit now. Pray. Let me see how steady you are.
Don't forget, I'm not just preaching to you, it's an instruction. This year, solidify your faith. Solidify your faith. Solidify your faith. Solidify your faith. I'm a son born in due season. I can never be stopped. I was born in due season. I can never be defeated. The lions are falling onto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. The lions are falling onto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. God has a plan for my life. God has a plan for my destiny. And I am fulfilling every bit of it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Finally, choose audacity. Take audacious steps this year. When he tells you, step out of the boat, step out. Are you with me? Take audacious steps in line with the future God has shown you. Pastor, I don't have the money to do anything. What can you do without money first? Start. 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 Tell your neighbor, start. I put my gaze on Jesus and I walk on water. I walk on water. I walk on water. I put my gaze on Jesus and I walk on water. I walk on water. I walk on water. I walk on water. I put my gaze on Jesus and I walk on water. I walk on water. I walk on water. I walk on water. Put my gaze on Jesus.
My gaze on Jesus.
And I walk on water.
And I walk on water.
Sing with me.
I walk.